Well, it's a blessing to be with you again, and I wanted to know the fellowship down in Salt Spring send their love and are keeping you in prayers too. So it's great when the fellowships get together and just pray and lift each other up. And I'm just thankful for that. And so thankful to be up here in Gabriola and see these beautiful sights and smells of spring and walk along and the beautiful beaches. And it's a joy for Elaine and I to be up with you again. And I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to share with you about sight, because it's a beautiful thing. So I wonder if you could join me in a prayer. Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our heart this morning, that we would see what you have in store for us. Lord, we pray that you give us new insights and understanding of your precious word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to move in your power and to open new doors for us and new awarenesses. Lord, that we would leave here different from the way we came in, and that this would be a beginning of a new transition. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I wanted to share with you about an incredible incident when Jesus was with his apostles in Jerusalem, and you'll find it in John chapter 9. It's about meeting a man that was blind from birth. And it's an incredible encounter. And we read that as Jesus was walking along, they saw this man that had been born blind. And its disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. An incredible encounter. You can imagine, this blind man didn't know who was there. And suddenly Jesus spitting and making mud and sticking it on his eyeball. And that really must have been quite a thing for him. But there was something deep in this, because he said to the man, "Now you go in faith and go to that pool and wash and you'll see." And the man just took Jesus at his word, which is a beautiful thing. He just went and he washed, and for the first time he physically saw things. And of course his neighbors couldn't figure this out, and they got to him and they said, "Well, what happened to you? How come you suddenly got your eyesight?" He says, "Well, a man called Jesus made some mud and stuck it on my eye and told me to go to the Siloam and wash, and so I washed and I could see." That's simple. Just go and put this on. And so, of course, they had a hard time believing this, but the Pharisees had an even harder time believing this, because they didn't like Jesus, and he sort of rubbed them the wrong way anyway. So they called this man and said, "Now, how come you, what made you see? How could you see?" He said, "Well, this man made spit on the mud and stuck it on my eye and told me to go to the pool, and I saw." He said, "Well, what have you got to say about him, that your eyes were open?" He said, "Well, he's a prophet." Well, that didn't satisfy the Pharisees, because now they began to believe this guy wasn't really born blind. So they decided they'd get his parents in and really make sure that this was their son, the one that, because they thought this was all false. So basically they got the parents in, and the parents said, "Oh, yes, we know that's our son. And he was born blind. But how he can see now and who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he's of age." And of course they were afraid to get thrown out of the synagogue by the religious leaders. So they were passing the buck. They said, "Well, go and ask our son. That is our son. He was born blind." So then they called the son in again, and they said, how do you see?" And he told them exactly the same thing. And he said, "No, that can't be, because he's a sinner." And the man said, "Now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Well, they were furious about this, and they chucked the poor guy out. They just threw him right out of there, because here he was lecturing them, and they didn't have the eyes to see. And so basically, this man walked out. But Jesus wanted to do something even more profound, because he was not only concerned about physical sight, he was concerned about spiritual sight. So he goes back and he finds this man. And you can read farther down in John, it's rather an incredible encounter. He said, Jesus heard they'd thrown him out, and when he found him, so Jesus sought him out. Jesus came to him. And he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir? Tell me so I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." For the first time, this man is seeing, and now he's seeing Jesus face to face. Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. That was enough. He worshiped Jesus. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, so the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." See, Jesus came to give sight, not just physical sight, but spiritual sight. You remember when he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah at that synagogue in Nazareth, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to poor. He sent me to bring release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So this was a major part of Jesus' ministry, was to bring sight to the blind. Now, I want to just share a little bit about physical sight. Because when God made creation, as a part of creation, energy and matter interact together, and it's emitted as radiation called electrical magnetic radiation. And all this radiation moves out at a set velocity, speed of light. And the distance between the waves of this radiation is called the frequency. Now, if you look at waves on the ocean, and I know a lot of you guys work on the ferries and that, you see the ripples in the water. The distance between the humps is the frequency. And when God made us, he allowed us to see a little bit of this radiation. It's called the visible spectrum. And so you and I, when we look through our eyes, we can see this radiation. And we see the part between the violet and the red. Amen? That's the part we see. Some people can see in the ultraviolet and into the infrared. But of all the radiation, we only see a very small part of these frequencies. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I remember when I was back in forestry, I had this instrument that could see heat. It was like a little TV screen, and it could see heat. And so I took it home. It was winter time. I took it home at the house, and I beamed it at my house, and it looked like every light in my house was on. But it wasn't visible light. It was actually heat. And I saw all the foundations, the cement that was above the ground, glowing. So then I told the kids, I said, "Well, you go out and run around in the snow." And it was like they're fluorescent, and you could see them running around in the snow. And if you beamed it at someone's face, they'd have a distorted look, because their nose would be maybe warm and other parts cool. So it was quite something to look at. You see, what I was seeing there was different types of the radiation. And, you know, if you look at the color of the rainbow, you see that light, all these spectrum. That's why the rainbow's got all these colors in it. It's the different frequencies. Isn't that wonderful how God did that as a covenant after the flood in Noah's time? The beauty of his creation. So he allows us to see a little part of the spectrum. And if we were able to see more frequency, we might even see radio waves or other parts. heat waves. But we don't. We just see a little bit of the physical waves. And what happens is that light comes to us through our eyes, but it's interpreted in our brain. Amen? So you might say you don't see with your eyes, you see with your brain. You interpret in your mind's eye. And indeed, you can visualize inside your brain. It's interesting, you know, if your sight receptors get damaged, another part of your brain that's not being used can be developed. And sometimes your hearing gets more acute. And they know this happens. Now, when we're born in the womb, we're blind. And we don't see until we're born. Amen? So once a little baby's born, that's the first time the baby sees light. When the little baby opens its eyes, it sees light. And for the first time, it sees. And I don't know, I'm sure you've done this as parents or grandparents. You put your finger in front of a little baby's eyes and you get delighted when he starts or she starts following. Their eyes are following your finger. You ever see that when you got a little one, they're following your finger. And you get delighted to say, wow, they're really seeing something. Thing. But little babies have to learn to understand what that means. They don't have an instant understanding of what sight means. They just get the reception. And so as they get older, as humans we get older, we begin to understand these signals and interpret them and understand what they are. And it takes time. You know, there was another encounter when Jesus healed a man that was blind. And you'll find it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. And he said, what do you see? And the man said, he looked up and he says, I see people. And they look like trees walking around. That's all he could see is these images. He had no way interpreting. Now, the interesting thing is, wonderful as physical sight is, Jesus wanted to give us something more profound. That was spiritual sight. And it's kind of interesting that just as we begin to see because we're born, we cannot see into the spiritual realm until we're born again. Amen? So just as you, when you're born, you begin to see physically, so when you're born again, you begin to see spiritually. And you can't see the secrets of the kingdom of God until you are born again. And Jesus was talking with Nicodemus on that rooftop in Jerusalem. He was a leader of Israel. And Jesus was telling Nicodemus, now listen, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. You've got to be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus couldn't rationalize this. He said, well, how can I go back to my mom's womb and get born again? I can't physically go back there. But Jesus was saying, no, you're going to be born again into the kingdom of God. The Spirit, your spirit's going to come alive, and you are going to see into a spiritual realm. You're going to see in the realm of the kingdom of God, which you were blind to before. And you're going to see things in the Word of God that you'd never seen before. And you're going to get understanding from that sight that you had never realized before. Because I'm going to give you my Spirit in you, and He's going to interpret these things for you. And so, basically, when we accept Jesus Christ, we begin to see the secrets of God. But if we don't have the Spirit of God, they're foolishness. And the Lord said this in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. And so they're blind. And sadly, that's... When we're in our lost state before redemption, we're blind. We might be intellectually brilliant. We might be able to say all the philosophies in the world. But unless we're born again, we're blind. We can't see. And Jesus came to give sight to the blind. And when He gave us the Holy Spirit, He says, even that just before he went to the cross, he said, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. And there's a remarkable thing, and I want to share with you a couple of incidents from the Old Testament about spiritual sight. And one was about this man called Balaam, who was hired by one of the enemies of Israel to curse God's people when they were coming across to get into the promised land. His name was Balaam. And it says that Balaam was sent by this king. He gave him lots of presents. He said, I want you to go over there. And for some reason, this man received the word of God, and so he carried the authority of the Lord. So he said, Balaam said, I can only say what God shows me, what he tells me to say. So he's going along, and he's sitting on his donkey, and as they're going along, and you'll find this in Numbers 22, and as they go along, the donkey sees an angel in the path. But Balaam can't see into the spiritual realm. He's blind. So the donkey doesn't want to go there, so the donkey wanders off into a vineyard, and Balaam gets out a stick, and he's whacking away on his poor old donkey to get him back on the path, because he can't see why the donkey's done this. You know, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, sometimes animals see in the spiritual realm? I don't know if you've ever identified that, but it's true. They do sense things we don't and see things we don't. So anyway, what happens to poor Balaam's donkey? They're going along, and they get in a narrow place, and there's two vineyards on either side, and the donkey sees an angel again with a sword. And he tries to get out of the way and crushes poor old Balaam's leg against the wall, and Balaam gets a stick out, and he's beating the heck out of his donkey, and because he can't see what's going on. So finally, it happens a third time. The donkey collapses, and God gives the donkey the ability to speak. And he says to Balaam, why are you hitting me? He said, well, you're making me look like a fool. And he says, no, I'm doing everything. And then God says, opens Balaam's eyes, and he sees this mighty angel right in front. And he realized he would have been killed if the poor donkey hadn't diverted away. So he was seeing into a realm, you see, that he was blind to. But then God gave him the ability to see into the spiritual realm. And there's another one you can look at. It's a really powerful incident. It's the time of Elisha, mighty prophet of God. You'll find this in 2 Kings 6. And what happened was the king of Aram decided he was going to destroy Elisha because he was telling all the king's secrets prophetically. And he surrounded the town that Elisha was in with a mighty army. And in the morning, Elisha and his servant got up. And it says this in 2 Kings 6:15, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? And Elisha said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them. You know, it's something that as Christians, we forget that so often. We go through life, we get into troubled areas, we get into troubled waters, and we forget that those with us are more than those with them. And we all should remember that. And then the remarkable, Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw and looked out, and he saw the hills full of the horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There's horses and chariots of fire around Gabriola Fellowship Church. There are more with us than more than's with them, amen? We should never be afraid of what the enemy is doing, because he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. And God wants us to have that spiritual eyes to look deeper and farther into the secrets of God and not just look at what we can understand with our physical ability and think that our role and things we do in life just depends on us, because we're children of Almighty God. Amen. And God's given us this remarkable ability of spiritual sight, that we can see into the realm of what the enemy's doing. And sometimes he'll give that sight in terms of dreams and visions. And you'll see. And you'll see the plan of God that he has for you. Amen? And you'll be able to see that. It's kind of interesting. In the Old Testament, those that had a prophetic gift were called seers. And we're seeing into the kingdom of God. And God will give, and he says he'll pour this out on all flesh, not just a few select people like in the Old Testament, but he's given his Holy Spirit to each of us, that at times we will see into the spiritual realm through visions, through dreams, through understandings, and we'll see what God has in store for us. And I'm sure if you reflect on your path with the Lord, you'll see that at many times he showed his will to you by something. And maybe it was something in the physical realm where you got a spiritual message from. You ever have that happen? Where you see something around and maybe an eagle flying, or and you're getting a message. You know it means something to you. But it's in the physical. But it's giving a spiritual. We learn to discern that. But it's very important to have to discern spiritual eyesight. Because the enemy wants to show us spiritual things. Amen? And they aren't good things. And they'll lead us on the wrong path. And if you ever got involved in occultic activity, you got to be very careful. Because that'll give you sight into a wrong realm. But the Lord gives us ability to see his plan for us. And to confirm and affirm. And what happens, everything we see, we may have to make it obedient to Christ. We have to make it obedient to his word. This wonderful passage worth getting into our memory bank, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And everything we see should never counter the word of God. And that's our check and our balance. That although we'll see things into the realm, we can test it and make sure it's from God. And God doesn't mind you saying, well, Lord, if this is from you, reinforce it. But if it's not from you, take it out of my mind. That's a good prayer to do. Just to be sure that you're getting the right message. And as we mature in the Lord, we're going to see things more in the spiritual realm. This is what Paul's prayer was for us, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his Holy Spirit. And you'll begin to see and understand the secret mysteries of the Lord. And Jesus told his apostles this when he was telling them about parables. You remember when he gave them the parable about the sower, about the man sowing seed, and he said, this is like the word of God. And they didn't quite understand it at that time, but he began to tell them, to explain what it was, that the seed the man was sowing was actually the word of God. You can find this in Matthew's Gospel 13. But Jesus went on and said this, and it's to us as well as them. Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Through hearing, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn and be healed. We shared that passage regarding wounding and healing and the calloused heart. But it's very important that we begin to see with our eyes into the spiritual reality of God and hear His word in terms of His direction. And then we will turn and be healed in the name of Jesus. And then the Lord gave us this wonderful blessing. He said, but blessed are you, your eyes because they can see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Dear friends, that's the wonderful privilege we have as the children of God. And if we haven't yet entered into that ability of being born again, I pray that some of you here this morning that haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful birth, amen, to receive Him by faith and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And if you do that, you will be saved and you'll be born again and you'll be able to see spiritually. And now you'll be on a path of learning what that sight means, just as each of us grow in the Lord and grow in the maturity of the Lord to understand what He has freely given us. It's a process that never ends. None of us have all the answers, but we learn, continually learning. And as we learn, we see more. And as we see more, we learn more. And we keep going through life. And you see, this was the beautiful thing that Jesus came for. Not only to give the beauty of physical sight to the blind, but spiritual sight to the blind and the lost. We're in a world that's lost. They're so filled with intellectual superiority, they forgot God. And they've lost sight of the one who makes it all meaningful. And they go off on their philosophies. And I listened to Peter giving his sharing here. And all the philosophies of the world that sound so intellectually exciting, but they're blind. But God wants us to see the truth and to move and to bring that hope to a lost world. Because no matter how rich and powerful intellectual this world is, they're blind, naked, pitiful, and poor. That's what God wants. And He wants us as His servants to go and spread the good news and give sight to the blind, just as He did. So I'm just going to end with a prayer for us. And for those of you who maybe have been wondering whether to accept Jesus Christ, maybe you've never remembered actually doing it. Well, to give you the opportunity, why not be sure? And this morning, profess it. And you won't have any doubts. So I'm going to start with a prayer of that. For those of you who'd like to join in that prayer where you're at, just join this prayer in proclamation of acceptance of Jesus. So, Father, we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we believe that You rose from the dead. We believe that You died for us to bring us salvation. This morning, Lord, we receive You as our Lord and Savior. We accept being born again. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have prayed that for the first time, even if you've been in church for a long time, I pray you talk to one of the elders. And it's a good thing. But for those of us that are walking along the trail, let me have a prayer of blessing to You. So, Father, we thank You for the gift of spiritual sight. But, Lord, we need Your help to understand what we see. Father, give us more strength to see into Your realm, the kingdom of God, to see the riches of Your grace, to understand what You have freely given us as You shed Your blood and Your body at that cross. Father, help us to see the lost. Help us to see that they need someone to come alongside them. Father, we pray for the gift and wisdom, Holy Spirit, to understand the gifts of knowledge and wisdom and faith, to understand what you have freely given us, and to walk in the glory of the name of Jesus, and to bring glory to our Lord and to our Savior. Amen.